You're listening to Sweat, Snot and Tears, brought to you by Netmums. I'm Annie O'Leary.
And I'm Wendy Gollidge. And together we talk about all of this week's sweaty, snotty and tearful parenting moments.
With guests who are far more interesting than we are.
On this week's show...
Trust me, you are talking to somebody who has made so many mistakes. I'm not just saying that to make you feel better. I would say I was notching up three a day, three big ones. Getting livid, shouting, locking horns, not backing down, behaving like a child myself. All that stuff. Endless, endless bellowing till I was blue in the face. Putting Vita, my youngest one, in the garden and locking the back door regularly so she couldn't come in twice a day.
But before all of that... Welcome to another episode of Sweat, Snot and Tears. Are you all right? How is it going? I feel like I'm waiting for impending COVID doom, as both children have it rife in their classes, so wish me luck. Wend, you've already been hit. Tell us, how is everyone? Status report, please.
The smallest has COVID. The rest of us are currently negative, but she sneezed in my eyeball yesterday, so I don't think it will be long before I join her. She's hot, she's floppy, she's sad. And this is our second time round, and I'm feeling a bit COVID bleak, if I'm honest. I feel like we're never going to be free of it. And although the guidelines say that you can do what you like, really, my conscience won't let me just gaily go anywhere in case somebody who happens to be vulnerable happens to be stood in boots next to us and gets COVID and it's my fault. So I just feel like it's a bit omnipresent, to use a long word.
That's like a sort of an essay word.
It is, yeah. So yeah, we need cheering up, and I know just the person.
I know, and the only guest we've ever had who, when I told the mums in the park yesterday after school who I would be working with today, one of them piped up, "I know her, I went to school with her." So Debo says hi, Mel.
Oh, I love Debo.
Isn't she the greatest? So my son, who's 10, has made really good buddies with her daughter, Zoe, who's 10.
Oh.
Your girls are a bit older, aren't they? They're 19 and 18, is that right?
Yeah, exactly. One's going to be 20 in April. Yeah, so it's, God, I don't know where the time's going. And it's really weird. So today is my great niece's.
Wait, you can't have a great niece. You're not 84.
Listen, I've got two great nephews and two great nieces and one great nephew. And I feel so privileged because the great niece is staying with us, Iris, and it's her first birthday today. So we've just had a little first birthday celebration with the one candle, with the little prezzies. And it's just, oh my God, it just takes you back, guys, takes you back.
So actually, my question of, is there any sweat, snot or tears in your house this morning? I thought you were going to say, well, no, because they're teenagers, but you've got a one-year-old. So tell us, sweaty, snotty, teary.
Yeah. So I said last night, because they're staying, and I said last night, right, 8 a.m. we'll do a birthday breakfast. So I was sweating big time at 10 to 8 because nothing was prepared. I was running around trying to get trying to blow up a balloon, the one balloon, trying to put little things on the table, all that kind of stuff, you know. So that was the sweat. The snot came from me. Again, I'm going to say it came from me in the right nostril, just for no reason, just felt like it had to just appear. And the tears were when she was just being lovely and looking at her prezzies and the classic thing, we gave her a prezzy, we gave her a little shape sorter. Do you remember those? The little shapes you post through, the little thing. She loved, of course, the bubble wrap. She found a stack of bubble wrap underneath the table and that was it. She's just happy as Larry, just chewing it, which is probably really bad, all that sort of stuff. But as a great aunt, can I tell you, it's a bit of a cliche, but it is the joy of doing all that nice stuff and then just walking away. It is brilliant.
Yeah. See, we're not in the walking away stage because we have younger ones. I was just telling Wendy before this morning, I felt so overburdened with the inability to be able to walk away that I found myself writing a spreadsheet of the things I do around the house versus the things my husband does, ready to present him.
That's good.
But when I wrote it all down, I only do three more things.
Oh, make it up. Make it up.
I know. I'm going to be making it up. I will be spreading it out.
Annie, basically, you need three more things. Let's call them lies. He'll never know. Does he listen to this? Does he? Of course he doesn't.
No, of course he bloody doesn't. And that's another row, but we'll talk about that another day. But I feel the mental load. Are you a mental load kind of a mum, Mel? Did you wear that heavily?
I'm a brewer, so I pretend I'm not, but deep down I really, really am. But I like to pretend I'm not. Do you know what I mean?
Well, this was what I was going to ask you. We know you as Mrs. Hilarity. Are you hilarious when you're Mum Mel, or is there a different Mum Mel that we would be shocked to see?
Yeah, I would say, so we're talking, you know, quite a long time ago now, but I would say when the kids were between 0 and 4/5, they had Darth Vader as a mum.
And how would Darth show up?
Hatchet faced, absolutely hatchet. My sister does a really, really annoyingly good impression of what I was like for those 5 years. It wasn't good.
So when you haven't had a nap, when you're Darth, who do you lean on for support? And I really want you to tell us, it, Sue, who's your kind of prop?
Yeah. No, she'd be absolutely up there. I've often done a thing, and again, she frankly rips the piss on a regular basis about this, where I will be, to everyone else, and I'll turn up at her doorstep and just go, like that on the doorstep. And I think, yeah, that's friendship, I think, isn't it?
And I think it's a necessity. You need people in your life who you can take the mask off for, don't you?
Or, weirdly, it's somebody you just don't know at all, isn't it?
A woman at the bus stop.
Woman at the bus. Oh, God. Yeah.
I've done that.
Have you really?
In a park in the middle of London.
Oh,
it was when Gracie was poorly and she was in Great Ormond Street. But nevertheless, I was telling my husband I was fine.
Yeah,
and then I was sat, there's a little kind of one of those squares in just outside Russell Square. And I was sat there and this little old lady was feeding the pigeons. I had a sob with the little old lady.
Oh, and I bet she was marvellous, wasn't she?
I don't think she was entirely all there, to be honest. She just kind of patted me gently.
It's perfect.
Sometimes all you need is a pat.
It is.
Do you know something I've always wanted to get going? I'll just throw it out there. I would love a massive business with loads of cash to sponsor in partnership with us, just putting benches all around the country where if you feel in need, you know you can go and sit on one of these benches and someone will just come and pat you, listen to the upper respiratory guttural sobs. Or do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If everyone just knew there was, within 5 minutes walk, one of those benches, we'd all be a lot better, wouldn't we?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like you get in primary schools, don't you? You get
the friendship bench. Our kids' school has got a friendship bench. But we need them as well.
Yeah. Do you think, though, in that horrible, twisted adult way, that the friendship bench might become something a bit darker?
Oh, like a dogging bench or something.
Annie!
Or like just a man looking for women to cry.
It might become a pervy bench, mightn't it?
Oh, that's
it might
so
become
sad.
Sorry.
You can tell she's a mum of teenagers, can't you? What's it like being a mum of teenagers, Mel? Tell us.
Oh, God. There are a lot of laughs, I have to say. There are a lot of laughs and then a lot of just moments.
We were talking to Faye Ripley the other day, who said there's basically just a lot of worries about contraception.
Yes, there is that creeping in. There definitely is that creeping in. But I'm just relying on Mrs. Bacardi and Diet Coke and Mr. Prosecco, which is coming in earlier and earlier during the day now. That's you know.
Right.
I say Prosecco, that sounds really poncy, doesn't it?
No!
But a cheeky Bacardi and Diet Coke at sort of 3 PM, it just softens the edges, doesn't it? Softens off everything.
I used to have a gin and tonic in my hand at bath time when they were little because it just took the edge off.
Yeah.
Just the one.
Yeah.
See, I can't do that because it makes me sleepy and then I'm just like, kids, put yourselves to bed. It doesn't really work.
which is fine. I've done the chats, the regular chats about all that. I know it falls on deaf ears, and I just hope, I hope that, you know, all is good in that neck of the woods. Again, I'm talking in euphemisms. I'm such a prude.
Yes, it's all about the euphemisms. In the run-up to this, you were saying how now that they're big girls, they've emerged as these like really great people and you've got two really cool friends in them. And I was saying, but is that because you didn't make any mistakes? Because I worry that I'm making so many mistakes that they'll just emerge as axe murderers and it'll all be my fault.
No, trust me, you are talking to somebody who has made so many mistakes. I'm not just saying that to make you feel better. I would say I was notching up three a day, three big ones.
What sort of mistakes? What's the big one?
Well, all the stuff you're not supposed to do. Getting livid, shouting, locking horns, not backing down, behaving like a child myself. You know, all that stuff. Endless, endless bellowing till I was blue in the face. Putting Vita, my youngest one, in the garden and locking the back door regularly so she couldn't come in. Regularly, twice a day.
And she's okay? She's turned out all right?
She seems all right. She seems all right.
What would she say if we asked her?
Oh, God.
Yeah, what would they say? If we said, tell us about Mel, the mum, what would she say?
They just have loads of in jokes about me, which is really annoying. I want to be like, you know, in with the gang.
Well, see, I've got two girls, so I'm prepping for this. They're already whispering behind my back about, like, did you see what mummy just did? And about my belly, they whisper about my belly as well.
Yeah, standard.
It's coming.
They've both got tattoos now, which I'm not, I kind of think that's probably quite a bad, I sort of think I'd somewhere along the line, I didn't do my job correctly, but do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have one done in 2 weeks, bigger and better than theirs.
You are kidding. Boom. Where's it going? Boom. Check you out.
Boom.
Where's it going?
So it's going on the inner forearm. I'm going to have a seahorse. And do you know who's going to do it?
Sue.
No. Oh, that's good. No, I wouldn't trust her. She'd do something awful like a cock and balls.
She'd just write penis, wouldn't she?
Exactly, yeah. Or dickhead. No. My lovely dance partner, I did the Strictly Christmas special this year, and my lovely dance partner, Neil Jones, does all sorts of things as well as dance brilliantly, annoying. And he is training as we speak as a tattoo artist, and I'm going to be his guinea pig.
Well, I think the tattoo is the best idea I've ever heard. My mum's friend had one to piss her sons off when she was 70. And she got, wait for it, she got a giant tulip crawling up the front of her shin.
That's great.
And she insisted every time she hung out with them, she wore a knee-length skirt so they could see the tulip.
That's brilliant.
It's epic, isn't it?
Yeah, that's really, really good. God, good for her. 70.
I'm still a bit worried, Mel, that you're getting a novice to do your tattoo, though. Microblading and tattoos, they're the things you don't want newbies doing, surely.
Listen, I'm hoping. I think, so far, I think he's done 6. So when I go in, he'll probably have done maybe 15. I think he'll be fine.
When we were looking back at your career, doing our research for the show, because ladies and gents, we do research.
Unbelievable. As it sounds.
I think you're the guest who's had the most varied career of anyone we've ever had on.
Really?
You've been in a Shakespearean play, the Rocky Horror Show. Mm. You're a comedian. Mm. Podcast about quilting.
Yeah.
I mean,
that was very gentle.
You're a broad spectrum woman. You're a Renaissance woman, maybe we could.
Well, no, some might say Jacqueline of all trades, mistress of none.
I've got in my notes, if she said she was going to be a lion tamer next, I wouldn't be surprised. So, what is next?
Oh, my giddy God. Well, I'm sort of, what's going on? Well, I wrote a novel last year. Before COVID, but it came out last year, and I'm writing another one at the moment. And I I'm getting to the age, so I'm going to be 54 this year. I'm getting to the age where I'm sort of thinking I should be doing something blooming useful for society and not just titting around. So I don't know. I'm slightly thinking there might be something a bit earnest.
Are we seeing some kind of like charitable thing coming? Are you going to train as a midwife? Like, oh, for God's sake, stop your moaning and just push, will you? Would that be you?
I think I'd get too annoyed with the mums if I was a midwife. My mum was a nurse, and there's definitely, as I get older, a real streak of the 1950s nurse coming out, like sort of Hattie Jakes in the Carry On films, of just that, come on, get on with it, come on, TikTok, come on. I wouldn't be good. I really wouldn't be good as a midwife. I wouldn't be that kind of doula, sort of all-encompassing, let's all share a pashmina and eat each other's placentas. I would not be that type of midwife. So no, I'm not going to be a midwife.
My mum's a nurse and my granny was
is
a nurse.
She?
And so I remember when my granny was getting really old and frail, I tried to have a really meaningful conversation with her. I said, Granny, any regrets? And she said, once when I was young and I was nursing, she said, I made a man sit on a bedpan and he complained it was cold. And I said, what do you want me to do about it? Blow on it for you? And she said, I really regret that.
That's great.
If I get to your granny's age and that's my only regret, the something serious has happened between now and then.
Well, I know. I just thought it's really funny. She'd carried this regret all of her life and that was the regret.
That's fantastic.
So you're not going to be a midwife. What are you going to do then?
I've got some more filming coming up, which is great. That's really, really cool. And then in sort of in the autumn, I'm just feeling maybe there should be something a little bit different. I'm not trained in anything. I didn't get into drama school, so I'm not actually a trained performer. I'm just here, just kind of winging it genuinely and just getting away with it and thinking this is the year I'll be found out. So I need to possibly do some training, but then I think, oh God, at my age, can I be asked? Yeah, we'll see. Watch this space, as they say.
We're ending on a cliffhanger today, ladies and gents, aren't we?
Right, much more important, what's for tea and who's cooking?
Okay, so I'm not cooking today. Woohoo! I bought a slow cooker.
Oh, but do you use it? I bought one and I've used it once.
I'm obsessed with it. I bought it 2 weeks ago, cheap as chips, 28 quid.
Yeah.
Which, okay, 28 quid is still, you know, it's a fair amount of money. But, you know, considering there are slow cookers out there for 128 quid, I went super cheap. I did last night, oh, it was delicious. I did a Cajun chicken casserole, took 10 hours, put it in the morning. We ate at 8 p.m. It was really blooming nice.
See, I don't like casserole. I don't like sloppy food.
Oh, I love a slop. Love it.
Are you saying you're not cooking because it's the slow cooker that's cooking?
Yeah, no, I'm off duty. So Ben, my husband, is going to cook. And he goes very Ramsay in the kitchen. Very much just a swirl of kind of creativity. Throws open the cupboards and kind of says, right, we've got some... Well, it's a bit ready, steady, cook, actually. We've got some poppadoms, brown sugar, and half a fennel.
An aubergine.
Exactly. And then sort of whisks up something annoyingly, usually pretty delicious.
Do the girls cook?
Yeah. My elder daughter, who's at uni, she got a slow cooker for her 18th birthday from a very kind aunt and uncle. So she is slow cooking big time. And the other one is a bit more kind of recipe. Quite sort of anal. It's got to be like that.
Yeah.
But she does. She likes it.
That's how my husband cooks as well. It has to be exactly like the recipe. And I just throw stuff in and make it up.
I'm also thinking, though, should we just get a takeaway?
If you go takeaway, what will you get? What's your go-to?
It would be, here's a tale. So our beloved Indian takeaway, which is about half a mile down that way. I mean, so cheap, so good. So the last time I ordered a delivery, a very nice chap in his maturer years came to deliver the takeaway. I knew exactly what it was going to be like. It's always delicious, you know, beautiful. He arrived at the door. It's steaming out of the bags. I just thought, oh, brilliant. Anyway, I'd asked a couple of mates, a couple of mum friends, actually, from the girls' school to come over and share this. And Lisa, one of the mums, came in 2 minutes later through the front gate to find the delivery guy pissing against our bins.
No, no.
Oh,
what did she do? Did she reprimand him?
She's hilarious. She's from New York. And she said, well, that's a novel way of approaching the lavatory or something like that. And I have to say, it wasn't even in the flower bed. It was against the bin.
Did you tell on him? Did you phone the people?
Lisa was like, right, come on, you got to get out of this. Come on, you got to do this. And I was like, no, Lisa, I feel bad because what if times are hard? What if he's really relying on that job? This older guy.
God, you're a much nicer human than me.
But if you don't tell on him, someone else will, or someone else will punch him.
No. But listen. Found out last week, it's closed down.
Oh.
And I sort of think, is it because of urination? Because it's not hygienic, is it?
There's all kinds of germ freakery going on in my head as well. Like having the takeaway over with.
I know.
So maybe not a curry.
So maybe, no, it will be a curry. It's always a curry. There's another slightly more upmarket one, which we might go for, which is a little bit expensive for my taste. I'm very, very tight, as I've already said. So talking of tight, can I just say this is absolutely true?
Heard can I just yesterday. Stop you and say, I am really quite trepidatious about where you're going with this.
Yes. No. A friend of a friend of a friend gave birth to her third child into her tights.
A friend of ours did it in the car into a pair of tracky bottoms. Right, last question. Imagine we're your girls and they're younger, so we're little. You're tucking us into bed and we can't go off to sleep. Sing us your lullaby.
I will always love you.
Well done.
Well, on that note, we've got to go because while you sang that, someone rang on my doorbell.
Well, and also Mel's got a 10:15 cut off to go and eat cake with a one-year-old.
Well, no, they've gone. They've gone. I'm relieved from that duty because I saw them leave the front gate. But it's been so lovely having a chat. And please send my love to Debo. Annie, thank you.
I'll say hi to Debo. You say hi to Sue. And enjoy your takeaway tonight.
I will, always.
Thank you, Mel. Bye.
Thank you, Mel.
Bye.